Father, we do thank you for being in our lives, for showing that to us through events and circumstances, teaching us to trust you in all things. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who gives us eternal life. We know that the life we live now is temporary. The challenges and the setbacks are temporary. Father, and you have something really awesome and great in store for your people when you come back. Father, we thank you for giving us peace and joy in the midst of a world oftentimes that hates you and is not moving in the right direction. We pray for your people. We pray for your church. Pray, Father, that we would trust and grow and we would mature in our faith. Father, that the mission work that you have ordained would flourish, Lord, and that it's not always with numbers that shows that it's working, but being honest with the gospel, having integrity with your word, and seeing people changed by your spirit, Father. So again, we pray for Mickey and Mariellis. We thank you, Lord, that you put the burden on their hearts to go to Costa Rica, and we pray for the church there, for the people there, for those yet to be reached, for the discipleship programs that are going on there in the prison, Father, for the classes that are taught, all for the purpose of building your kingdom. And so, Father, we thank you for that. Pray that you would remind us, Lord, that it is your kingdom that we are to be building and not our own. Father, we pray for the work of your church and the people that are involved. We pray now, Lord, that as we open our hearts to receive, Father, the message and also the update, Lord, that we would rejoice in your hand at work and the movement of your spirit among your people. So we thank you for these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
The Lord bless you all this morning. Marty Ellis and I are very privileged to be amongst you this morning. forgive my English. I did grow up in Bibb County in Brent, Alabama. But my brothers and sister keeps telling me I don't sound like I'm from here. And so they let me know. And what a privilege it is to be in a church that's well-founded in the gospel. Because the message that the Lord has laid on our hearts to bring to the United States, not particularly any church, is that many people are supposing they're walking with God and do not realize often that they are not. And that's something we have found in the ministries as well in Costa Rica. For those of you who do not know much about what we do, the Lord has given Marielos and I a ministry of making disciples of Jesus Christ. And all we're doing is helping others, facilitating others to walk with Jesus, letting them know or letting them have the assurance, not that they're so much walking with Jesus, but Jesus is walking with them. And they are walking together. They are obeying the will of the Lord. And oftentimes we find people, or I would say the majority of the people coming to our prison discipleship group at one time were in church, and not the Catholic Church, the evangelical church in Costa Rica. We had this one guy who confessed to us that, yeah, I was in church, but I was also running with other guys who were into stealing cars, automobiles. And one day I was in a home Bible study, and I got a call on my cell phone. He said, I'll give you 500,000 colones, which is $1,000, if you go steal a Toyota Corolla and bring it to me. So he got up, excused himself, went, stole the car. He got his $1,000 and was back in the Bible study before it was over. And he, all along, was thinking he was walking with Jesus. He was thinking he was a disciple of Christ. And so it's very obvious then that a person, just because he goes to church, doesn't mean he's walking with Christ. I would like to read from Romans 8, 1 through 16. Would be our Romans 8, chapter 8, verses 1 through 16. Would be our passage for this morning that I would like to share. And I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible. My friends tell me not to use the NIV, but we usually use the Biblia de las Americas or La Reina Valera, which are two very good translations in Spanish. So I was advised that this is a good English translation. So it says, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and as an offering for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mindset on the flesh is death, and the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him. If Christ is not in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brethren, we are under obligation, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh, for if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body you live in, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, those are sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of slavery, leading to fear again, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, so that we may also be glorified with Him. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your blessings. We thank You, Father, that You draw us to Yourself and You teach us to walk with You. But, Father, let us all put to death that which is causing us to die, which is the flesh. And may we be alive and made alive by the Spirit that dwells in us. Thank You, Jesus, for Your work on the cross. And it's in Your name we pray. Amen. There was a time in the lives of Joseph and Mary, Jesus' earthly parents, in which they thought Jesus was walking with them. In reality, Jesus was not with them. You may remember when he was 12 years old, they took up from Nazareth and walked to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. Jesus was 12 years old, and they had gotten there, and they enjoyed the feast. And after it was over, Joseph and Mary set out with the family and friends, and they was on their way back to Nazareth. And all of a sudden, after a day's walk, a day's journey, they realized, where is Jesus? They left him behind. Jesus wasn't walking with them, even though they assumed that he was with them all along. They assumed that Jesus was with them and they were walking with him. But when they realized they weren't, they returned to Jerusalem. They spent 3 days looking for Jesus because they assumed he was somewhere on the streets or wandering around, just lost his bearings and couldn't find his way. They assumed that. But when they did find him, you remember where he was? He was in the temple. He was speaking with the teachers of the law. And Jesus told them or asked them, why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my Father's house? Sounds like a little bit of sarcasm there, but I don't think it was. It should have been maybe a better translation. Well, you know me so well. You know where to find me. And I think that's God's message to us. You should know where to find me. You should walk with me. So let's not assume, or no one should assume, that they are walking with Christ just because they think they have the right beliefs, or they think they're doing okay, or think they're a good person, or they're going through and doing the right things. They even may have the best arguments. Someone once said that even Satan himself is a better theologian than most men. You can even argue to the point of making men get angry with one another and destroy each other. So let's not assume things. Many people think they're walking with Christ because they have the right values. And I would like to share with you four different values that we have seen in our ministries where people think they are walking with Christ or assume they're walking with Christ when they actually are not. And one is the value of doing the right thing. We've heard that a lot in politics, right? It's just the right thing to do. So it's the value of doing the right thing. But people who believe like this would be disappointed. Disappointed because it's impossible to have faith in Jesus if we don't have a contrite heart, if we're not humble before Him, and if we do not repent of our sins and turn away from them. A person who believes like that has faith in what he believes about Jesus, but not faith in Jesus. And sometimes that's hard to distinguish because we want to believe the right things. We want to do the right things. And sometimes we put our faith in that knowledge that we have, but it's faith in things we believe about Jesus and not in Jesus himself. And we find in Costa Rica and the ministers we have, especially we give inner healing or counseling would be a better word in English, I guess, for it, to couples and to families who are in church, most of them, and they believe the right things, but oftentimes they find that they're putting their faith in what they believe about Jesus, yet their personal lives are destroyed by lack of forgiveness, resentment. For example, we have some good friends, Sammy and Natasha. They were in church. Sammy was a leader, youth leader in this church. And it's the church that we're currently attending ourselves because it is a good Bible-teaching church. But every Sunday we would see that Sammy would be weeping and crying and no one ever paying any attention to him except for Marielis and I. So we approached him and said, "Is there anything we can do? Can we pray for you?" He just wept on my shoulder. "Yes, please do." And just began carrying out meeting with him every week, once a week, with him and Natasha, with Sammy and Natasha. And it turns out there are so many issues of unforgiveness, of confusion, of deception, of deceit. Not of unfaithfulness, not of things that, you know, people would get divorced for, but their lives being destroyed by a lot of things. Emotional things, just because they thought they had their faith in Christ, but they had it in things they believed about Christ. And when they learn to do that, they learn to forgive each other, they learn to forgive other people in their lives, and they're working out the issues in their relationship, and yet they're not believing what they, or trusting in what they believe about Christ, they're trusting in Christ. And it's just a simple step of turning them toward Christ. And they left behind all desires of earthly desire, sinful flesh. So do not suppose that just by believing the right things or having faith in what we believe about Christ, that we are walking with Jesus. Let us repent of any sinful lifestyle that remains in us. Many people believe in the value of religion. It's the second value, the value of religion, without believing in the justice of God. God is our best friend. Jesus is our best friend. And He tells us that we are His friends if we do what He tells us to do. That's okay. Yes, we'll believe that. But they don't believe that there's condemnation for sin many times. They don't believe in the justice of God. So to believe like this is a disappointment. Because it's impossible to have faith in Jesus if we have not been justified by Him. If we have not been made righteous by Him. That is faith in faith. But not faith in Jesus. And most of the people that we receive or see in the nursing home have faith in their faith. They grew up Roman Catholic. They grew up doing the Hail Marys and the Lord's Prayers and getting baptized at the right time and praying for the deceased and doing all of those religious things. And I believe Satan loves religion, any religion, because it takes the focus off of Jesus and puts it on man or puts it on Him. Puts it on what that faith may be. It makes man feel good about himself. But the purpose of Jesus' redemptive work was not simply to make us feel good about ourselves. It was to perfect us. To make us perfect. To transform us, renew us, justify us, sanctify us, purify us, to make us a new creation in Christ Jesus. Thank you so much. One thing about coming back north is that the cold weather, even for you, it may not be cold, but our blood is thinned out. It is still pretty cold for us. But a couple of verses we read in our passage. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. Let's not put our faith in the faith. Let us be made righteous by the Spirit of God that dwells in us. So let's not suppose because we have a good religion that we're walking with Christ, that we're walking with Jesus. Let us not put our faith in what in faith. Because when we're 80, 90 years old, if we make it that far, whatever the Lord gives us, let us not one day be surprised that, well, I had the right beliefs. I had a good church. I went through the religious motions without personally knowing Jesus Christ and walking with Him. And most of the people that we see in the nursing home that we attend is like that. Another value that we see that many people have is doing good works without personally knowing the one that we are to obey, which is Jesus. Because being a believer, we are to do good works. We're called to let our faith be shown by the works that we do. James in his epistle says, even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. But many people put their faith in doing those works. Put their faith in doing those works. Faith in himself or faith in what he can do in the name of Jesus without actually knowing Jesus. Faith in good works. And we have seen in certain areas of society in Costa Rica that, well, if I give enough, I'll be okay. If I do enough, I'll be okay. If I'm good enough, I'll be okay. And these are things I think we all have seen in society. We all know. I had this one English student who teach English as a second language. I think something like English. At least I know the grammar. I may not speak well. And one of the issues was with one of the businessmen that was teaching, God is such a hard God. God is and one of my English lessons for conversation lesson was, is God hard? And he said, yes, he is. Yes, well, God is just, yes. We believe in his justice, yes. But God has a soft heart. Do you believe that he would send his son to die for you if he did not love you? If he didn't want to forgive you? If he didn't want to change you, transform you? But I do this. I make a lot of money and I give to the church and I send people and I'm on the board of a lot of these things. But yes. But that's not saving you. Are you walking with Jesus? James also said, but if someone may well say, you have faith and I have works, show me your faith without works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Let us be guided by the Holy Spirit that lives in us. Let us obey him. Let us do good works. And let us do it in the name of Jesus. But let us do that which he is calling us to do, to show our faith in him. And let us not suppose that just by doing a lot of good works that we're walking with Jesus. Let us take a look at ourselves and ask, are we truly obeying Christ and walking with him? And the fourth value that I would like to share with you, that people think they are saved or suppose they are walking with Christ when they're not, is the value, they believe in the value of a spiritual life without living by the power of the Holy Spirit. This will be a bit disappointment because it's impossible to have faith in Jesus if we're not being guided by the Holy Spirit. This is faith in one's mental ability, faith in its intellect, but not faith in Jesus himself. And there are a lot of people who are much more intelligent than I am, have an IQ much greater than I, and they are teaching and they are founding churches and religions all over the world. So you can live your best life now. But our best life comes in heaven with Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit is not a luxury just for a few, but is a gift of God to all who put our faith in him. He dwells in us to guide us. And remember what we've read, for you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And these are mostly like the men a lot of times that we see in prison. They often are religious. They are oftentimes think they're walking with Christ. But when they say that prayer and mean it in their heart to receive Jesus and begin walking with him, you can see a transformation literally amongst them. And oftentimes I believe God allows them to be in that place when sometimes they may not deserve it, and most of them do deserve it, as far as the punishment of their evil deeds that they do on earth. Most of them do, but we have one guy, Fernando. He is a very gifted musician. We were able to get him a guitar so he could lead our worship in prison. But Fernando was in prison before, and then he was released and was put back in prison again. His first time he was in prison for dealing drugs, being part of a cartel. He got out and found himself a decent job, started his own business painting houses. He was painting a house for one of his former running buddies, so to speak. And he's in the house and he was painting when their version of the FBI, called the OIJ, raided the house. arrested him, and they found several kilos of cocaine in the attic of that house. It wasn't even his house. He was there working, painting, making an honest living. But because of his former police record, they sentenced him anyway, charged him. And he asked, you know, I usually do the teaching, and Marielos gives counseling while I'm teaching, and he asked Marielos, what am I supposed to do here? And she just simply asked, do you love Jesus? Yes, I still love Jesus. Feed his sheep. But I don't know how. Do you love Jesus? Yes. Feed his, the same thing three times. He asked, and three times Marielos gave him the same thing. And God has transformed that young man. Well, not young man, he's about my age. But he's a young man. Has transformed Fernando to the point where people in the prisoners in the prison are wanting to be with him, around him. And the prison, the cell group has gone from about 25, 30 men to 65, 70 men because of the work of Jesus, because he is walking with Jesus. And oftentimes we'll go in, and last time we went in, we began after the worship part, the song part was over. Guys, when you get finished, can you pray with him to receive Jesus? God has already prepared his heart. And I said, why wait till I teach? Let's go ahead and lead him to the Lord and explain to what he is doing and accepted Jesus. God prepares their hearts even before we get there. And oftentimes it would just be the teaching and preaching when all of a sudden they say, 10, 15 men want to say, can we go ahead and pray to receive Christ? We want him. Sometimes we're afraid, what if we can't go? I mean, one of our biggest fears of coming on a trip somewhere out of Costa Rica is, okay, Lord, we're not there when that happens, but we don't need to be there. God will do his work through whom he wants to do his work. But we act only in obedience, following Jesus. So we shouldn't suppose that just by believing in the Holy Spirit that we're walking in obedience to him. We all believe in him. But let us truly understand what his guiding spirit in us is for the things that we do. We shouldn't suppose anything, especially when it comes with our relationship with Jesus Christ. One of the men in our home Bible studies, we also have a home Bible study. One is a kidney transplant. It was about 20 years ago that he had this kidney transplant. And at that time, his brother was a perfect match. His brother said, I'll give you one of my kidneys if you denounce this hallelujah religion that you say you practice. And Mario said, I don't practice a religion. I'm following Jesus. Well, denounce that and I'll give you a kidney and you can live comfortably. And Mario said, no, I'd rather die with a bad kidney. But Mario wound up receiving a kidney from a young lady who died in an automobile accident. And they gave him about 15 years to live. And he has to take a whole battery of medicines, a bunch of pills, so that his body will not reject the kidney. And his immune system is way down. And he's lived like that 15 years as joyous as any person I can see. Even with the emotional strains that all that medication puts on him and his wife and his family, we walk with him with a bunch of counseling, and he's going to the home Bible studies, but he is now giving his own home Bible studies. So we praise God for people who really are walking with Jesus and refuse to denounce their faith in Jesus. And just a few months ago, he shared with us that his medication has stopped working. He's swelling. He's got a whole bunch of physical problems, and the doctor's given him less than a year to live now. And yet he comes and encourages us in the things that we're doing, because that is an encouragement to us. Because he's not supposing that he's walking with Jesus. He is walking with Christ. And other things, you may remember Andrea, that we talked about some. She's a cook at our children's feeding ministry, having a really poor area in San Jose. And even with her mistakes and with the problems in her marital life, living in extreme poverty, abandoned by her husband, 4 children that she's raising on her own, no source of income. One evening we were at our home Bible study. Marielos gets a phone call. It was from Andrea, and it was raining really hard. And he said, "My house is going to wash down the mountain." She was really scared, and it could. Her house was 8 feet by 9 or 10 feet. That was it, on the side of a mountain. Raining really hard. The posts are built on wooden pillars that had been washed out, eaten out by insects, termites. One of the corner pillar posts was on top of a stump growing up out of that. And I said, "Okay, you believe in Jesus. You have your faith in Jesus. You're going to be okay for this evening." And we asked the Lord for funds to help her, and somehow we got funds to put better pillars under her house and sturdy the foundation and put on a decent floor. And then as we had a meeting with the group that goes into the prison ministry, we met a guy from Tennessee. He works on foundations. He has a business in Tennessee where he works on foundation. After a natural disaster, he goes in and fixes the foundation of houses that have been harmed. I said, "Can you come and give us some advice about this?" So he went up the mountain with us. We showed it to him. He said, "What can we do about this?" Ali said, "Tear it down and redo it." He said, "Oh, I can't do that. She has 4 children. Where she's going to go? What's she going to do during that time? We don't have the funds to do that." And he said, "Well, that's what I recommend." And about a year later, he gets back in touch with us and said, "I've been raising a little money with other businessmen. They're not Christians, businessmen, but we have a little money." And he came back down to Costa Rica, looked at it again, said, "Yeah, I still think it needs to be torn down. And how much is it going to take?" They're about 3.5-4 million colones, about $7,000. And he said, "Well, that's just how much I brought." And he gave us that. And we just got some pictures from Andrea yesterday. And the house is walled up. It's got the walls and the roof and the floors. And the house is just about finished being rebuilt. Because she's walking with Jesus, even in her troubles. And she's not a perfect lady, but she's serving the Lord with all her heart, trying to follow him. And she's walking with Jesus. I would like to say a word of prayer at the end of this part. And if they have any questions, is that okay? Just receive questions and ask anything about the ministries that were presented here or anything. Let us pray. Father God, we praise you. And blessed be the name of Jesus for the things that you have done and things continue to do, for drawing people unto yourself for salvation. And Father, just help us all to walk with you, walk with Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.